Hey, welcome back. Today I'm talking with Matt Miller. He's the CEO and founder of School Spirit Vending. He's a former Air Force pilot who runs a successful business focused on school fundraising. He's also the host of the School Zone podcast. Enjoy.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? Check us out there. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Today I'm talking with Matt Miller, founder of School Spirit Vending in 2007, graduate of the U.S. Air Force Academy and a former pilot in the U.S. Air Force, worked in the medical industry, advertising, and even in selling gumballs. This led him to vending and school fundraising businesses. He is now the successful CEO of School Spirit Vending. He has helped to raise over $3.5 million for schools. He is the host of the School Zone podcast. He is a husband, father, and lives in Central Texas. Say hi to everyone, Matt.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on, man. Hello.
Appreciate you joining me. That's awesome. So hi from the great state of Texas. Let me try that one again. You're in Texas. I'm in Georgia. So hi from Georgia to Texas. It'd be helpful if I knew where I was, right? I want to start off by, I got to talk about you being a pilot in the Air Force. You're a graduate of the Air Force Academy, which is awesome. At least, hopefully you see it that way. As an outsider looking in, I see it that way. Why did you seek the appointment, and what encouraged you to serve your country in this manner?
You know, I've got to be honest. You know, I would be lying if it was some greater good, Steve. I got to my junior year in high school, and I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. And it just so happened that a good friend of my dad's ran into my father and I at a art show one weekend. He was a liaison officer for the academy, and he asked me what my plans were, and I told him I had no idea. And he said, "Have you ever heard of the Air Force Academy?" And I said, "No, what's that?" And he said, "Well, it's, you know, the Air Force is equivalent to like West Point or Annapolis. It's essentially a four-year college with a full-ride scholarship in exchange for, you know, time as an officer in the Air Force once you get out." And so I was intrigued, started doing a bunch of research, and a couple months later, Mom and Dad and I went out to Colorado Springs to visit, and they were both teachers. When I was a senior in high school, there was four kids in the family. Each of us were in a different grade in high school. And Mom and Dad told us at the very beginning that we were not, they weren't going to be able to help us out with school. So if we were going to figure out a way to make it happen, we were going to have to do it on our own. So the academy was an opportunity for me to go to school away from home, you know, and kind of get out on my own for the first time. So I didn't have anybody with military background in my family, you know, had no big aspirations even to fly. I was just excited to have a way to get school paid for and kind of get out there on my own.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, from somebody who stayed on the ground in Signal Corps in the Army, like watching you guys fly by. So cool. So when you get to fly jets, by the way, what did you fly?
I was a T-38 instructor pilot for 5 years in Lubbock, Texas, and then I was a C-5 transport pilot for 3 years out in Dover, Delaware before getting out back in 1998.
Sweet. C-5, man. That's like, oh my gosh. If you've never been in a C-5 or anywhere near them or seen them fly by, that's you know, all our signal equipment could, you know, easily sit in one just area of what a monster, man. What a monster. That I love that. Not some little plane, is it?
No, it's huge. It when you're taxiing the airplane, just to give people some perspective, in the cockpit, you're sitting six stories above the ground. just when you're taxiing the airplane on the ground. For those folks that remember, you know, a bunch of the Gulf War coverage years ago, the C-5 is the airplane that they'd always do their reporting in front of, and the nose would be popped open, and they'd be, you know, offloading tanks or equipment or whatever. So that'll give folks an idea of the plane that we're talking about.
Love it. That's one of the, besides its size, that's the other thing that's so memorable about it, is it has that nose just tipped up. It's like, check that out, man. That's it's like a big mouth. It looks like like some weird version of the shark Jaws or something sitting on there on the runway. You know? Well, very cool. Well, Matt, I've listened to you share your story on many different shows. You've been successful in the military and the corporate world, and you've also had some serious problems that you've had to overcome. Listening to you talk about your past, I see you as being determined to succeed, willing to take risks, and not willing to give in. How would you describe yourself?
Man, I would say the biggest thing, you said it already, determined. I'm also highly creative and innovative. I, for whatever reason, have been blessed with the ability to come into a scenario or to come into an industry like I've done in vending and in the fundraising space, and kind of from an outsider perspective, you know, deconstruct it and then rebuild it kind of in the way that I think things should be done without a lot of the baggage that insiders have that hold them up from maybe seeing things from a different perspective.
Nice. And obviously it's helped pay off as you succeed and have succeeded and overcome and moved on through different walls and so forth that you've had to deal with. So let me ask you a question. You know, recently I heard another podcast interviewer ask you to share your favorite leadership quote, and actually you were asked to wrap it, and I'm not going to do that. But what I loved was the quote you came up with, which was from Zig Ziglar, and it was, "Help other people get what they want, and you will be taken care of." Why do you like that thought?
You know, that's just been part of my DNA, Steve, forever. I'll never forget, you know, I was in the advertising industry for about 10 and a half years before I left that to be a full-time entrepreneur. And I was wildly successful during my career, was always one of the tops in the office. I spent about a third of the time that everybody else did doing what I did. And one of the main reasons why I believe that was the case, I was always looking for a win-win instead of just a win for me. And, you know, there were many folks in the office that were just there to sell advertising. I was there to truly help my clients move the needle and to make significantly more from the ads that they ran with me than what they spent. So because I had that philosophy, I was able to put together, you know, programs for them that had them coming back wanting more year after year after year with very little maintenance on my part, because I put something together that had their needs in mind, not just selling them a product. So when I started SSV and we just, you know, started having people come our way wanting to initially be distributors and today be franchisees, you know, the philosophy has always been the same. You know, let's make this a win-win-win situation. Let's make it a win for the schools where we can help them raise money without any volunteers and get some kids off the street. Let's, you know, help our franchisees develop a secondary and in some cases full-time income stream over time. And then, of course, for us being able to do those two things, you know, we get paid a little bit of everything that goes on as well. But those other things had to come first for us to really be where we are today.
That's excellent. You know, it's something as a former high school principal, I, you know, worked with a lot of vendors. And one of the things that I loved was when someone had that type of an attitude with, and about their business, is that they're there to help other people. And when they come in and they show it, and how they'd show it oftentimes is how they interacted with your staff and stuff. And sometimes they, you know, they would try and do things to help us in a way in which it didn't necessarily fit. And I can explain that in just a minute. But I mean, my point is that it's a different mentality, because a lot of times the vendors that you run into who work within the, you know, working with schools, sometimes don't understand that it's not just about selling something. You're trying to help the school, whether with its image or whether you're actually helping those groups be able to do what they can, who are using your product. And that's part of it. And that's kind of where I wanted to drive this discussion, because, you know, it's a trip being a high school principal and trying to find different avenues of funds for within your school. And over the last, you know, bunch of years, schools have always had issues trying to raise money. And you know, I mean, when I was in high school, I sold a lot of M&Ms. I don't know about this show is not sponsored by M&Ms, by the way, but I sold a lot of M&Ms, Snickers, and some other things. And, you know, I was in German Club. I was in Air Force ROTC. I was in I had this whole and you know, for all of them, we sold all kinds of things so we could do all kinds of stuff. And that's what it was all about. And then, you know, pop up a few years later, a few years down the road, the big giant drink companies decide, hey, guess what? We could get involved in this. And they start realizing that schools need scoreboards. And so in exchange for scoreboards and putting machines in the schools, you know, hey, we could do some stuff there. And then that gets taken away. but you got all kinds of other vendors going around. And, you know, and I don't know about if you have Krispy Kreme donuts out in Texas or not, but that became one of the vendors throughout the South that, you know, they're constantly selling donuts because kids will buy donuts, man. And, well, not really allowed to do that anymore.
Right.
So where I'm going with all this stuff is that you're a little different with what you sell. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, how's your company kind of changed that paradigm?
Well, I mean, I looked at what I did in the corporate space, Steve, and what I liked and what I didn't like, and the same with the military. And when SSV got started, my goal was really to mold a company that truly reflected me and my belief system and the principles by which I live my life. And so that being said, all of what we do today revolves around that. So, of course, we've got the fundraising component that we've already briefly touched on, but there's a lot of other things that we're doing behind the scenes that we don't really spend a lot of time talking about, just because we don't want to cloud the issue as we're sharing with schools what we do. But as an example, I started a comic book company a couple of years ago. The reason for that, I was inspired to read as a kid by reading comic books.
Nice.
And with a lot of the content out there today, the adult themes, the darker themes, et cetera, I was like, okay, we're going to put something together that'll hopefully help inspire some kids to read in our schools that we're in, and be something that parents can be proud of, that they're not concerned, you know, that they've got a watchdog out there looking out for them and the best interests of their family, not just looking to make a buck. So Marlon and Percy, these two apes that want to be superheroes, showed themselves in our machines for the first time a couple of years ago. We've produced now 6 full-length comic books, a children's novel as well. This coming fall, in the next month or so, we're going to start giving away a bunch of those comic books in ebook format as downloads to the kids who buy our stickers, so that they're not just getting a sticker and the other things that we provide, but they're also getting a comic book for free as well that will hopefully inspire some more of them to learn to read and to make reading a passion for them like it is for me. And I'm sure it is for you as well.
That's awesome. That's, you know, first of all, you are speaking to my heart right now, because I am a comic book fan, and I'm going to show my age with what I'm about to say. I grew up with Spider-Man, and Spider-Man and Batman were pretty much my favorites, but especially Spider-Man. And it's interesting, because one of the things that I think where Hollywood kind of screws up things is that they didn't read the comics. And if you read those comics from an earlier time, many of them, there is a lot of banter. There is a lot of, it's not as dark. Even though you have bad guys as messed up as the Joker, it's not as messed up as Hollywood has turned them into, or modern right. comics, and that darkness is not there as much. I mean, it's still there, but it's not at the level. And it's funny because I'm going to pick on something that recently happened. I think that's what they missed with one of my favorite characters was the Thing from Fantastic Four. And when the Thing and Spider-Man, I don't know if you ever read those in the 70s or 80s, those were awesome. What they would do is, you know, they're always cracking jokes at one another, and Spider-Man would make Thing mad, and of course some bad guy would be in the middle of all this while they're making each other mad. And it just had a way of relieving the tension of all that stuff. And it's just interesting because you have this darkness. So that's cool that you guys, you know, it kind of tapped into that and found what a cool thing to do to put in your machine, because I love that. Some of the comics that exist today, I'd be afraid to let my son, if I had young children, read them until they turned, I don't know, 50.
Well, yeah, no, you're right. And that's the way it was when my kids were growing up. And so I figured, why not? You know, I've got a platform now. We've got, you know, over a million kids that have access to our machines on a daily basis during the school year. You know, why not utilize that platform for even more good than we are just with the fundraising? So we started out with the comic book stuff and are gaining a lot of traction there. We've started producing audio and video clips for the schools. Initially, they're to help promote kind of what we do within the school in a fun way. But we're also going to, as an example, put together a series starting this fall. I'm not sure what we're going to call it yet, but it's going to be kind of behind the scenes with Sticker Man and Sticker Woman.
Cool.
You know, what we do, how we do what we do, how we design stickers, how we print stickers, how we do all that stuff. So it's not just a machine, but hopefully some kids get excited about the whole idea of entrepreneurship and starting businesses and just, you know, kind of getting a behind the scenes peek behind the curtain at what we do, to hopefully help them learn along the way also, instead of just be purely, you know, users of the machine in the school.
That's cool. And so let's talk about that just for a second. Do you talk to kids about, did the schools ever bring you in to talk to them about, define my pronouns here, to talk to the kids about entrepreneurial experiences like becoming a franchisee and stuff like this, about how these types of programs, not necessarily to recruit, that's not my point, but to explain types of business practices?
You know, we've had some schools that have chosen, to bring us in that regard. We haven't done a lot of that. And one of the reasons, quite honestly, Steve, is the fact that majority of our franchisees, you know, they started out with a full-time career, and this was just something they did in support of that.
Interesting.
And so in many cases, all the time that they had was being spent running the business, that type of thing. Now, we're kind of beginning to transition to where people are understanding the importance of doing some hiring and that type of thing. And I'd love to get more into that. I'd love to sponsor camps around the country in the summer. I'd love to be able to do more and even provide, you know, a curriculum that we could come in and help with or whatever, because I think there's a ton of value in it. You know, all those things are things that are on the radar. It's just a matter of finding the right pieces of the puzzle on the team to put them together and then begin to implement. But, you know, it's crazy. It's just a sticker machine, but it's so cool what we're doing. And I'm just as excited about the direction we're heading in with some of these programs that we're talking about as just the fundraising aspect of it.
I got to tell you, that's what's going through my mind right now as I'm talking to you, as I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, when I was a school leader, you often had kids who were doing different things, and you wanted to get them to talk to some of our vendors and stuff like this, where it's not about marketing to them directly about the product. It's about talking about how they, you know, approach thinking about going into business for themselves, especially in this world that we're in. Because it's funny, even though you still have kids who go into landscaping business for themselves and stuff like this, you have kids who can expand way beyond that because of technology, you know, with the web and stuff like this, where, you know, they're buying and selling on eBay, and they're doing any number of businesses using the web. And it's interesting what you're talking about, because I think that I could see you guys, you know, actually talking to them about how, you know, everything from, you know, products and stuff like this to how a franchise, you know, what's involved in becoming a franchise owner and that type of thing. So that's just interesting. Or taking a concept and all the way through, you know, the idea that you had over a soft drink, and then you come up with the idea, and then you put it through to make the product or whatever, and then actually put it into action and see if it works.
Yep. And I see a bunch, so many different aspects that can be followed and done with this. You know, something else as an example, you know, I've got the ability to have comic books, you know, created of anything. So
cool.
One of the things that we're looking forward to doing in the next couple of years is having art contests around the country where kids can compete for maybe the next character in the comic books, and maybe even they become a character as part of their winnings in the comic books because they, you know, won whatever that contest was. You know, there's so many things we could do that, you know, the machine ends up kind of being the center of it all, but there's just a lot of different facets to it that I think could be a unique way to look at education and to, you know, to give kids some other opportunity to shine and show their creativity as well.
Oh, that's excellent. By the way, we keep talking about the machine, and one of the things I read on I read out of some of your material was that the machines are just mechanical. They're not electrical. Did I read that right?
Correct.
Can you explain that?
Well, it's just a mechanical mechanism. You know, you put the quarters in, you push the little slide in and pull it out, and there's a little plate in the back that grabs the little piece of cardboard that the sticker's in and pushes it out of the machine.
Nice. Nice.
The only way that it would have worked for me, Steve, because I'm not that mechanically inclined, it needed to be really, really simple for this bonehead pilot to figure out. And so circuit boards and electricity and all that stuff, I wanted no part of. So
that's excellent, because what that also means, though, is that, and because, all right, now we're going to go back to me being former principal. The most frustrating thing in the world is when somebody tells you that the vending machine over there is not giving out what it's supposed to give out, and it's an electrical problem, and you have to call the company, and of course, some of the worst ones ever. Now, the kids would argue with you about this one, but, you know, some of the drink machines would sometimes be a little bit like slot machines at Vegas. I'd tell kids, you know, sometimes you break even, you get what you want, and sometimes you win when you get an extra one, and sometimes you lose, man. You know,
that'd
drive you nuts. And they were always electrical problems. Well, not always. There's sometimes, you know, kids put the wrong type of bill in there. The bills would get jammed or whatever. But it's one of those things that the less likely there's a problem to happen, the less headache it creates for the principal.
Correct.
Nice. I like what you're talking about there. So let's, yeah, you kind of have a tagline or a logo that says hassle-free year-round fundraising for your school at School Spirit Vending. We do all the work, you cash the check. Tell me what you mean by that logo there. Besides, what's the meaning behind it?
Well, as you know, volunteers are at a premium today. Most households, mom and dad, have to work just to keep a roof over their head. And so the number of parents that can be actively involved to support fundraising efforts or any efforts in the school are hard to come by. So our whole purpose, and one of the things that really differentiates what we do, is the fact that aside from the school approving our program, they really don't have to do anything else. We take care of all the rest. So we, in essence, you know, are working as a volunteer within the school, you know, and of course they're reaping the benefits by getting a portion of all the revenue that's raised from the machine every month. It doesn't detract from any of the other stuff that they're already doing. They continue to focus on what's most important to them. They just enable us to do our part and employ our expertise on their behalf.
Excellent. So let's kind of move from that to talk about, you have the main company, and then people buy into your company. So they buy like regions or something like this. Is that what happens?
Yeah, everybody's got a protected territory that they work in and out of. Based on geography, it's normally built either at the district or at the county level, depending on the state and, you know, exactly where they're located. And that operator has exclusive rights to that area to do what we do in that area and with those schools.
Nice. So who do your franchisees, who do they normally work with? Are they working with, you know, like the principal, teachers, PTSA, other clubs? Or, I mean, who is it that you normally kind of try and find?
Well, as you know, the principal is normally the one that gives the final approval.
Yes.
But every school is different. Some schools, the principals choose to be the sponsor of our program because they've got activity fund that they've got to have money for. And because there's no volunteers involved, oftentimes they see this as an easy way for them to be able to pay for some teacher luncheons or some awards or, you know, some things that they need to have responsibility for during the year. But then there's some schools and districts where the red tape is so significant that it's easier to go with the PTO, PTA, or PTSA, because since they're an organization that is governed outside of the school district, they don't have a lot of the guidelines and rules and regulations to live by that an administrator does. So every school is different. We're just looking for a sponsor who stands up and raises their hand and says, you know, I'd really love to bring this program into our school. I'll be the one that gets the approval taken care of and then lets you guys do your thing.
Very cool. Very cool. I know, you know, I keep harping back to this, but, you know, in the number of years that I was a principal, and I dealt with this as assistant principal also, because a lot of times as assistant principal, you're dealing with whatever complications were caused by whatever the whatever fundraiser went awry. And as a former teacher, I used to do all kinds of them. I did. I was also I was a drama teacher for a while. I also did yearbook and stuff like that. And you're always trying to figure out different ways of fundraising and any number of, you know, things that you could try and say to the principal, this will not disrupt your day. This will work really well, and I promise you that. It's almost like, you know, and you're sitting here keeping your fingers crossed. So it sounds like you call it, you know, they very probably do not really realize that you're even in the building, which is a nice thing from a principal's point of view. So with that being said, one of the things I'd like to do is, you know, with the, do they get a choice as to what, how did you choose what goes in those machines? Is it that regional person, or is it, do they work with a club and so forth to figure out what of your products they put in it, or is it kind of a set thing?
Well, of course, we've got the one of the selections is the custom stickers specifically for the school with the mascot and colors and all that. Other than that, you know, we're in over 2,000 schools. We've got a pretty good handle on what the kids want out there. So while we give the school the opportunity to, you know, if there's something in the machine that for whatever reason they just would prefer it not be there, you know, we'll gladly take it out in that event. But, you know, the product is all developed for, you know, a 3-year-old and above. It's most of it, we actually develop it ourselves from the ground up and design the actual series, et cetera, with our customer, those kids in mind. And then we do extensive testing to figure out what stuff the kids want and what stuff they don't want. What I've learned over the years, Steve, is us adults are normally way behind the trends.
Yes.
And in most cases have no clue what the kids really want. So it has not worked out well anytime adults have tried to manage what they think the kids want versus what the kids really want and what we have found that they really want. So we reserve, you know, that ability. And then at each operator level, you know, they pick and choose what product goes in each month into the machine and then rotate that on a regular basis based on, you know, needs and wants, based on parts of the country. You know, some things sell better in one place than another. Some schools, the boys are more actively involved in the machine, the girls aren't. And then in others, it's a complete flip of that. So every school has their own personality, and the operator, that's one of the things that as they've worked with the school for a while, have the ability to identify to make sure that the product mix that's there is the best fit for that school, because the school right down the road, the mix may be completely different because of what their personality is.
So let me just take a risk. Even with all that you just said, do you have something that's really, really popular right now in Texas?
You know, NFL is always popular for the kids. Secret Life of Pets, you know, it's been a blockbuster movie this summer. That's something that we'll have available for the first month or two. It you know, it's always changing. We developed an emoji series here this last spring and even produced a video commercial to go with it and all that that was wildly popular, not just here, but all over the country. One of the cool things about stickers is because they're just printed, you know, we can identify a trend and literally within 3 weeks or so have product in machines.
Nice.
You know, toys and those types of things, because they're in most cases being produced in another country somewhere, et cetera, can take 6 months to a year, you know, for right. that same process to occur. But here, it's just a matter of getting the artwork, getting approvals done, getting the printing done, and then distributing to the team. So we can be very, very fleet on our feet and react very quickly to, you know, kind of what's going on in the marketplace.
Excellent. By the way, a far cry from that kid, myself, who banned RTC, German club, selling M&Ms, eating his profit. So, yeah, I just kept buying for myself. It's like, that's not what's supposed to happen. Anyway, cool stuff. You got a podcast. It's called School Zone Podcast. I like it. It's really cool. And I've listened to several different episodes, and your last couple are at, I think you're at some state PTA conference or something where you're interviewing other vendors and stuff. Where'd the inspiration come from?
You know, I found that most schools were making decisions about what they were going to do on the fundraising side and even, you know, gaining familiarity of resource companies out there on the trade show floor, whether it be, you know, the principals conferences or the PTA or PTO events and that type of thing. And for anybody who's been to those events, those conversations are normally very, very short. There's a few key bullet points that get covered, and people are having to make decisions based on, in most cases, very little information. And so what my purpose is to take that trade show and put it on steroids, you know, to give companies, their owners and founders, you know, the opportunity to go deeper than just the couple of bullets and the sales spiel, but to really share their heart, share what they're all about, why they do what they do, and how they do it. And so most of the interviews are 30 to 45 minutes long. And my purpose is to provide a resource for the administrators, volunteers, and educators out there so they can take their time to further investigate some of these companies. Because there are so many out there that nobody has any clue about, Steve, and they're incredible. You know, I'll give just one great example. There's a company called Readathon. It was started a couple years ago here in Texas. It's kind of a takeoff on, you know, the walk-a-thon or, you know, whatever a-thon you want to call it.
Right.
But it's all about reading. And it's focused on encouraging kids to read and raising money along the way. And they're doing incredible things. Instead of, you know, product that oftentimes people don't want, that's overpriced, but they feel obligated to purchase, here's an opportunity, you know, with Readathon to do something that is going to truly make a difference in the child's life as well as in the school. I mean, talk about innovation and utilizing technology today at its absolute best. Well, they're out of Texas, and there a lot of schools in Texas know who they are, but there's a lot of schools all over the country that have probably never heard of them before. But if I was the one making the decision, man, they would immediately be near the top of my list just because of the good that they do, let alone the fact that they help schools raise a bunch of money.
Yeah, that's so cool. I was listening. I was having fun. I was kind of getting addicted to going, hey, you know, because I got to tell you, I've heard of a lot of vendors, but most of them I had never heard of. And so I was having fun listening to all those the different people that you're talking to. So I think you're hitting the nail on the head there, because there are so many out there that you can get lost in that shuffle. And I attend different leadership, educational leadership conferences where you have lots of vendors who will be there selling different types of products and such. And it is amazing the quality that is out there that you can literally get lost in. So that's cool what you're doing with that, with your podcast. So kudos.
Yeah, my hope is to help filter through a lot of them and to along the way also give people some suggestions and some guidance. Nice. Now, there's some people that might ask, okay, why would this guy be promoting other fundraising companies when he's got a fundraising company? Well, what we found is what we do doesn't really compete with any of the others, because most of the others are what, you know, would be classified as an event. And at least schools in Texas, they normally do one event a semester. Well, our program is an ongoing thing that, you know, I've got schools that I've been in for 8 years and we're still raising money for them with our machine still 8 years later. So we coexist right alongside all those others. And, you know, ultimately it's my hope that, you know, the volunteers and the administrators and everybody have the ability over time to spend less and less time in the fundraising space so they can dedicate more of their time to doing what they're truly trained and paid to do, which is teach our kids. So by providing that resource, hopefully we help encourage and enable people, you know, to find the absolute best out there that they can, instead of being limited regionally based on what they might have run into, you know, in an hour or two that they had on a trade show floor somewhere.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, kudos to you for doing that. And it's a very good podcast. I encourage you all to listen to School Zone Podcast. So before we go, Matt, go ahead and tell everyone how to connect with you further, where you'd like to send them, and anything that you'd like just to kind of leave them thinking about before I get to my last two questions.
Yes, Steve. First off, if they want to just find out more about the actual program itself and the ins and outs of what we do in the school, they can just go to schoolspiritvending.com and can get some more information. There's a form there they can fill out if they want someone to reach out in their area and contact them about our program. If they'd like to learn more about the business side of what we do, believe it or not, we've had several administrators and educators and volunteers decide to become franchisees as well along the way. They can go to ssvbusiness.com to get more information. And I actually wrote a short ebook called The Top 10 Reasons Why You Need to Own a Vending Business that I'd be happy to give away to anybody in your audience who's interested. They can just go to ssvbusiness.com/TLL for teaching, learning, leading, and download that, and we can begin a dialogue if they like.
Awesome. Excellent. So keep that in mind. We got a chance to get his ebook, The Top 10 Reasons Why You Should Own Your Own Franchise. Is that what you said?
Vending business.
Vending business. Yeah. And so you go to ssvbusiness.com/TLL, teaching, learning, leading.
Yes, sir.
Very cool. I will make sure all this information is also in the show notes as well. So thank you for doing that. That's awesome. Let me ask you these two questions. One, if you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
You know, I would just tell them that we all learn in different ways. And I know their hands are tied somewhat by the system and time constraints and what have you. But if they can really learn how to figure out how to touch those kids in a way that those kids most respond to, they can open up doors to those kids that nobody else can in the process. You know, many are visual learners, many are auditory learners. You know, me, I learn by doing. And so we're all wired differently. You can't, in my opinion, use a cookie cutter to just process people through, and because I think there'll be a lot that'll left by the wayside. So, you know, be creative and do the best you can to speak to those kids and the voice that they're able to hear, because they're all different.
Excellent advice. And lastly, do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? If given a chance to say thank you, who would it be and what would you say?
You know, there was in high school, he was my high school drama teacher. He ended up heading the thespians and all that stuff. Guy by the name of David Pierce. I'll never forget. I was a freshman in high school. I had sung in the choir and had done some things musically much of my life, but I had never done any acting at all. And one of the guys that had a starring role in the fall musical got into some trouble. And a couple of weeks before, you know, before they were ready to perform live, he was kicked off the cast and they were looking for somebody who might step in. And he gave me a shot, this freshman that he had never really knew anything about. And that led to, you know, the opportunity for me to be on stage 12 different plays and musicals in high school, both in high school and in community theater. That got me comfortable getting up in front of people on a regular basis. And I can trace a lot of, you know, the skill set that I have today and the comfort level I have back to that one shot that he gave me and then the support that he gave me along the way.
Very nice. Thank you for sharing that with us. Well, Matt, I can't thank you enough for joining me today. I love your determination to be successful and your unique approach to fundraising for schools, because it's so nice to hear stuff that, you know, no one's going to ask you, was this manufactured near peanuts? Was this, you know, is this machine going to crash and start, you know, going to have all these different issues? And just simply that the choices and paying attention to what the kids are wanting and stuff like this, and then just the idea of the whole business itself. So I thank you so much for sharing your company with us today.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for having me on, man, and God bless you.
Thanks. You too, Matt, and best wishes.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? That's right. You can now find Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 on Google Play Music. Check us out.